everybody, to another episode of the Glorious Rugby Podcast. I'm your co-host, John Fitzpatrick, and joining me is my fellow co-host, Alistair Kirschpool, AKP, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We got 5 points on Saturday, so I'm happy. I'm happy anytime we can get 5 points.
We did get 5 points. A little bit of a nervy match, a little bit of an interesting match. There's no business Old Glory DC trailing at half, but that's where Old Glory found themselves against Anthem, of course. So we'll break down what happened there, and we'll jump into and preview week six. AKP, week six, opponent RFC LA. That's going to be a home match, Maryland Soccerplex. I'm sure you'll be there.
I will indeed.
The question is, will I be there? Hopefully. Fingers crossed that I can join you. And it's an important one, right? Because it's the last game before Old Glory DC goes on bye. So they go on bye, and then they come back, and then they host the Houston Sabercats.
Yeah, it's going to be an important match for Old Glory. This is the sort of, we're at that point in the season where we're in a pretty good place as far as getting to the playoffs is concerned, because, you know, Anthem obviously not going to make it. Miami probably not going to make it, but they're not that far behind that if we start, you know, not doing what needs to be done, that they can't overtake us. So, And RFC LA is the sort of team that, you know, you've got to think that we definitely can beat, we probably should beat. Or certainly, if we're not beating them, they're a team that all of the other real contenders are beating. So if we're not beating them, are we really a real contender?
Mm. Yeah, it's a great question, and we'll get into that in just a moment. AKP, you brought up kind of where Old Glory DC stands. Let's take a little quick reset at the Week 5 standings. You know, considering we had four teams on bye. In week five. So again, New England, they're at the top, 15 points. They've played four games. Noel Gold, second, 15 points. They've played four games. They're in second because of a differential in points between them and the Free Jacks. Old Glory DC, by virtue of their bonus point win over Anthem, they're in third place right now, 2-2-1, 12 points. They've played five games, of course. Chicago Hounds, man. What an electric, exciting game for them, but they've got to be disappointed in the fact they were up 26-0, then lost it. Not only lost it, lost the lead, lost the game, but lost the chance at a losing bonus point as well. Of course, Chicago Hounds, they're 1-3-1, 8 points, 5 games played. And as you mentioned, Miami Sharks, 1-4, 7 points. They've played 5 games. And then Anthem RC, they now have 2 table points. They are still winless on the season. So that's what the Eastern Conference looks like right now. Then heading into week six, 2 Western Conference teams on bye, the Houston Sabercats, which I don't like to admit this, AKP, because I've taken my son to a number of Old Glory DC rugby games. He likes the Houston Sabercats. That's like his other team.
Yeah.
So I've got some stuff to work out with him. But I just like that he's watching rugby. But I'm like, hey, dude, we'll go to the game, but you can't cheer for the Houston Sabercats.
Not when they're playing Old Glory, certainly. I think it's fine to have a second team. I cheer for Chicago when I'm not cheering for Old Glory. You know, Midwest roots and all that. So.
All right, AKP, week five recap. Let's jump into it, of course. Old Glory DC got the bonus point win over Anthem, as we expected. You know, we also expected a little bit more points, giving up less tries. Let's just start at the beginning here. Week five, lineup decisions. Of course, we had an inkling they were going to change things up a little bit, taking on an Anthem side. But give me your thoughts when you saw the lineup come out. We saw a few new players make their first appearances of the season, a couple of new starts. Break it down for us.
So I think the place to start is that there are a couple of ways to treat a sort of game like this, where you've got a huge edge over your opponent, and you can either use it to, you know, rack up the points. We could have used it to really reset that point differential that's not in our favor right now, or you can use it to rest players, and we decided to do the second. and give players time who haven't had a lot of a chance. So, you know, we saw Bill Whiteside. He's been coming off the bench at Locke. We saw him in the starting lineup. We saw Ethan McVee. His name is actually apparently pronounced McVee. So going to have to correct that. It's going to take a while. Ethan McVee started at nine. You know, Tommaso Boni got some rest. Brady Daniel came on for his brother, Corey Daniel. That was a late scratch. Sort of weren't expecting that one, but...
Which is too bad there, because there could have been an awesome moment where both the Daniels brothers would have been on the field at the same time for a regular season match, considering we just had the Crusade brothers on. That happened the week before. But, you know, if we get it.
Yeah. It would be cool if at some point we had a Daniel on each... at two Daniels, both at flanker.
Yeah.
On each side of the scrum.
When Jam is back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And MLR, why didn't you discipline Justin Besson? But that's it. I'm done. I said I wouldn't bring it up, although I did. Continue.
Yes. Mind-boggling decisions aside. So then Mike Tabulis and Tavita Nangali also, you know, getting their first games of the season. They're coming back from injury at the start of the season. I mean, Mike Tabulis has been out for, you know, it feels like eons at this point. He did get a few games in last year, but it didn't feel like he got a whole lot of a run out before he got injured again. You know, this past 2 years have been pretty rough on him. But he had a good game this week, and hopefully he can really get back up to speed and sort of become a... You know, he was really a force when he was at his peak a couple of years ago, so hopefully he can get back to that. And Tavita Nangali, obviously, just a long-time stalwart of the club, and good to see him back on the field.
Absolutely. He's one of my favorite players there at the lock position. Just the way he kind of runs and rampages with the ball. He is not an easy guy to bring down. And I remember a few years ago at Washington, D.C. Youth Rugby, it was like an end-of-season party. A couple of OGDC players came out, and it was like a touch game of kids versus parents, and Tavita was out there, and just a big old happy dude. The kids, you know, obviously they're looking up to him like this big giant, just happy dude, just fun to be around. So, yeah, the fact that he's back playing meaningful minutes is fantastic. So super excited for what he'll do for the rest of the season moving forward. And, you know, you're right, it was a... you know, you brought up a very interesting point. Maybe it was after the game when people were talking about, you know, how Anthem has played, or how their performance is first half versus second half, right? And typically MLR clubs and how they do their substitutions. Did you want to bring up that point again, just to kind of an explanation for, and I'll preface all that, an explanation for why, maybe not why, but Old Glory DC trailed at the half, right? And again, in no way was Old Glory DC going to lose this game. Let's just put that out there.
Yeah.
Right now. Okay. So would you take it from there?
Yeah. So the thing to note about Anthem is that for the most part, they've done pretty well in the second half. You know, against, you know, if we look at, or, you know, when once the benches come on, and so this is often like 50-ish minutes into the match. You know, against New England, they scored two tries to New England's two tries. They were even in once the bench came on. For NOLA, it was the same, two tries to two tries. Dallas notably kept their foot on the gas because they had something to prove, and they scored four tries to Anthem's one in when the benches were on. Miami, it was, again, tied zero tries to zero tries when the benches were on. And then Old Glory... it was slightly in Anthem's favor, two tries to three tries, because of that last second try for Anthem.
Yeah.
And so if you look at when the bench is on, it's even. And then when, you know, obviously against starters, Anthem is, you know, six tries to zero against New England, four tries to one against NOLA, five tries to three against Dallas, seven tries to three against Miami, and four tries to one against us. The only difference with that is that we put our bench on in the starting lineup, our usual bench players in the starting lineup. So, you know, it looked like they kept it close for a half, but that's really an illusion because we did the whole bomb squad strategy. I mean, we switched out basically our entire front row put on the backups. You know, we did that Bill Whiteside starting. He's normally coming off the bench like 20 minutes from the end of the match. He got the start this time and played 50-60 minutes. You know, so those sorts of decisions all up and down the lineup really is why it looked like Anthem was staying close, but really it wasn't as close as it seemed. We just switched which half we were playing our bench in.
Yeah, and if you watch that game, Anthem, they came out with a lot of energy. They're going to get a lot of points dropped on them, right? And they certainly did. And I think coming out of this game, there was a couple of things, right? Minimum expectation, bonus point win for Old Glory DC. Check that off the box. They definitely got that. Didn't seem like there was any serious injuries. No one came off. That stuff sometimes is as clear as muddy water, so check that box, assuming everything's fine there. We wanted to hold Anthem to less than three tries scored, and we did through all the way through to the very last like 30 seconds of the game on, I don't know what the call was. Maybe the Old Glory DC player wasn't releasing the ball. There was like 15 seconds left. Anthem kind of did a quick tap and go and scored a try. Okay, Anthem got their bonus point. Congrats. Like, hey, well-deserved. They brought it. Okay, they played about as well as they could have. They got four tries. Would it have been nice not to have that extra point scored against Old Glory? Of course, because, again, we talked about that point differential, which may factor in later down the line there. We kind of wanted to gain some more points back there. I would say we didn't check that box. You know, I think there were probably more points we could have scored and or not letting that fourth try scored. But, okay, that's not the case. I guess, AKP, in your mind, Old Glory DC, they won. They got the bonus point. Were you satisfied with what they set out to do before the game started?
I mean, in the immediate aftermath of the game, absolutely not. But the more I've thought about it and the more I've sat on it, I thought the performance of the starting lineup, you know, in that second half, once we put the usual starters in, it was good. It was exactly what I'd wanted. You know, the Anthem really struggled to gain a lot of ground. We were making our tackles. You know, we were on top of the kicking game. It generally felt controlled and the sort of game that we want to play. It was a little concerning that the first half, I mean, we, you know, it was a backup, a sort of second string side, if you will, but there were a good number of our starters in there, and you know, we only have so many guys on the roster. If guys get injured, we're going to be playing those guys who are out there against Anthem, and it's sort of a little concerning to see the difference in level between the first string guys and the second string guys.
I gotta say, we're starting to get really close to having that full back line, right? I don't think we've had the Boney, Willie T, Damian Hoyland, Axel Muller, Perry Humphreys combination yet, although Rizzo played really well. And speaking of John Rizzo, he and also Facundo Gattas, who scored two tries, they both scored two tries, were both named to the MLR first 15. Our back three all gained over 100 meters. Were a vital part of scoring tries. I mean, like, you know, it's funny because I think back to the conversation we had with Chris Dunleavy about, you know, this team maybe offensively won't be putting up a lot of points. I don't know, man. I think this is a team that's got potential to really drop some serious points. I mean, when they were clicking, and yes, it was Anthem, they were having some fun out there. And there's some explosive potential when everyone's clicking, right? And I'm sorry, Robertson back there, right? And Grady coming, you know, whether he's at fullback or coming off the bench. And now we got Mike DeBoulos. All of a sudden here, we're starting to stockpile an arsenal of weapons that can really make some plays here. I mean, Muller, when he scored that try, he had a nose for that goal line. He could have probably passed it off to Hoyland, but he didn't. He was like, I'm dotting this thing down. I don't know, AKP, I'm starting to get really excited about how I think we have a potential to really drop some points on teams. And maybe this is just me getting up over my skis here a little bit, but the weather's getting nice. It's getting warmer. We've got some boys that want to run. I mean, I would love to see Old Glory. I think they got the potential to start putting up upper 30s, low 40s every game. Am I crazy for saying that?
No, I don't think you are. I mean, I think we've shown that we have that power in the back line. I mean, I think this back line in previous years would have been a high scoring back line. I think MLR defenses have gotten a lot better. We have to give credit to how far the league has come in terms of quality defense. But I do think we've got the opportunity to have, you know, scoring potential in that back line. Like we saw, you know, Axel Muller's first game and him getting a brace of tries. And, you know, John Rizzo getting a brace of tries here. Rizzo has always had the speed and step to be successful on the wing. And so, and, you know, looking at Mike Tabulis coming back, I mean, his first game back in basically a year, and he made 27 meters gained in 7 minutes of actual game time. And so I think, you know, we've got the pieces there that we could have a really high quality scoring back line. I think it would take a slight shift in strategy. I think they're not quite to the point where they can, you know, because a lot of that, having a really dynamic back line, a lot of it has to do with how you open up space for the wingers and the real playmakers. I think, you know, if we can get Hoyland in any sort of space, he makes people miss like no one's business. I think if we can get Mike Tabulis on the field and get him in some space, we just saw what Rizzo can do if you get him some space. And obviously Axel Muller just does Axel Muller things. I think we've got a lot of potential back there.
A lot of potential indeed. And, you know, as we start to look ahead to an RFC LA squad, where if you look at them on paper, you know, out there in the Western Conference, yeah, they're sitting down there, you know, at the bottom. You know, they're 1-3. Their only win is against, a Utah side, or maybe I'll have that backwards. But no, I think RFC LA. Anyway, the point is,
yeah, that's right.
You know, they gave up points. Their point differential is minus 15, and in 5 games they've given up 110 points. They seem like a squad that maybe struggles a little bit to score. You know, they've only scored 95 points so far through 4 games. Sorry, they've played 4 games, but you know, I just, you know, as we start to look at ahead here at week 6. Actually, before we do that, sorry, there's 2 things I want to call about Anthem. One, there are a few players on that squad that I'm really big fans of. I thought Jake Turnbull had a really good game. I think he's doing yeoman's work as a captain, leading that young squad out there each and every week, knowing that they've got a tall task ahead of them of trying to play a full 80 minutes and knock off some MLR clubs. He's been playing really well. Of course, we've talked a little bit about that back line for the Anthem, but Te Rangatira Waitakoa, he is an explosive player, and he had ripped off some big runs. And David Still, I've been impressed with how he's been playing when he's in there. He is a big physical runner, a guy that's hard to bring down. You got to be excited if you're Scott Lawrence, if you continue to get him some more minutes in 15s. Okay, moving on. Sorry. Week 6. I want to start looking ahead here because we've got the 5 bonus point win against Anthem that Old Glory DC needed. Interesting 3-week stretch here for Old Glory DC. Again, this home match, and again, if you're going to be a contender in this league, you got to win your home matches, right? Particularly a team like RFC LA, who is rested, right? They had a bye week, but they are traveling across the country, you know, to play Old Glory. You assume they fly out Thursday, rest Friday, play Saturday, but maybe not. Maybe they fly out, you know, Friday, play Saturday, go back Sunday, right? It's a lot of travel, you know. It's a lot of travel there. So you got to catch them, and you got to win at home. You got to win home. That's just the bottom line. AKP, if you look at this RFC LA squad, any position groups or players that come to mind that you're a little nervy about RFC, or what are your impressions so far of RFC LA?
In general, I mean, I know they haven't won a lot, but I have been impressed with RFC LA. They've been tenacious in games. They've lost a couple of games by just a couple of points. They've they've seemed like a threat. They haven't, I knew they were coming up fairly early in the season, so I've been sort of eyeing them as, you know, oh, we're going to have to play these guys eventually, and I'm not hugely looking forward to playing them. In particular, the back row is top quality. I mean, you've got Jason Dom on there. You've got
Matt Heaton,
who coming over from when they were still playing in ATL, top quality. I mean, you've got Michael Amiras, who's done really well. Semi Kunitani has done really well. These are guys who can punish us if we're not up to par in this game.
Yeah.
And it's something, you know, especially missing Jamma. And I thought, you know, I mean, Corey Daniels really stepped up and Pavaro's really stepped up. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to say that we're weak in the back row, but, you know, it's definitely an area where we're dealing with a fair amount of unavailability.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I think that could be a real test, is how well our back row holds up to their quality back row.
Yeah, and I'll keep going there, mentioning players. Their back line, they've got some playmakers there. Andrew Coe, nemesis there, you know, playing for New York. He's a guy that can score, and what he is known for, and I think this, he loves that try intercept, right? That, you know, the either the fly half try or the inside center tries to do a little skip out pass, and Andrew Coe just kind of sits there and snipes it and breaks off like a 60-70 meter. That's something to look out for. James Soakes, their center, who he's a talented player. You know, Jason Emery, I think he's a little banged up, but if he's out there running around, he is a playmaker. Niall Saunders, he's a guy, a scrum half, where they love to tap and go, and we saw he had an awesome try, a tap and go, but he kind of like flipped in. I think he like dislocated his finger too, which was kind of wild. But these are guys you can't take a play off, because you can't take a moment's notice off, because they'll rip off something. So they're certainly capable of putting up some numbers, you know. So that's why this game to me is not it's not going to be a pushover game. You know, it's very much a game that RFC LA could come in and steal. And I say steal only because, again, their record's 1-3, but I think they're better than their record. But certainly a game that Old Glory DC should win.
Yeah, they should certainly be holding themselves to the standard of that they should win. It's definitely going to be a close game. I think, you know, I think the back line might be the weakness of RFC LA, though. I think in some ways it's a strength. I mean, like you say, Andrew Coe is capable of breaking one off from anywhere. Niall Saunders is capable, can do a lot of damage if he catches a snapping. And so it is something where the team is going to have to be focused, and really focused for 80 minutes, not letting those gaps open up, that those little opportunities that guys like that can exploit. But I think if we can do that, if you can we can focus in those moments and not leave those little opportunities open, I think they don't have a lot of, I mean, we've seen that they struggle to score points. I think they don't necessarily have a lot outside of those explosive playmakers making, you know, little magic plays where they can. So I think you know, I say it every week, but like a patient controlled game is the solution.
It's funny how that comes up every week.
And it's, I mean, it comes up because that's the style Old Glory is playing. That's the game plan they've chosen this season, is that's how they want to win games. But it's also what they're built for right now, and what they've been training towards. And so if they can just stick to that and not get wrapped up into any silliness, or not, you know, every time there's a penalty against them, get back 10 meters immediately, be ready for a quick tap, be ready for situations that might come up, you know, don't leave a lot of space open on the wing. Don't, you know, just don't create those opportunities where someone like Ko can just burn you.
So, AKP, I've got my phone out because I'm looking ahead at the weather. Right now, Saturday, we got a few days of rain here in the DC area. should clear out by Thursday afternoon. Friday looks like a dry day. Saturday, yeah, it's getting into April and it's spring, but it's early spring here, so mid-50s, partly sunny, winds northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. So we know how the wind can gust there at the Maryland Soccerplex, excuse me. Of course, we know what happened in the last game against San Diego Legion there, where the wind definitely played a factor in how the game was played. So AKP, I bring that up because we know what happened when we last played there. If the winds are a little bit gusty, we got to change things up, right? Like, we have home field advantage here. We should know how the wind is going. The box kick into the wind and the kicks over, like, we're going to see less of that, presumably.
I really, really, really hope so. And I will have serious questions about the sanity of this coaching staff if they don't change the kicking strategy. I mean, it's that location is a windy location. It tends to be, it's sort of slightly up on a hill, and therefore it, you know, it's right, it catches the wind well. And so it's always going to be windy there. And if it's windy everywhere else, it's going to be extra windy at the Soccerplex. And we need to adjust for that. And that means, like, I really want to see Graydon Bowd on the field because he is the best kicker we have. Mm-hmm. In the open field, you know, he gets more distance than anyone else, and he can do those dry, accurate driving kicks, and we're going to need that potentially going if we're going into the wind. The only thing that I really, really hope is that we have the wind behind us in the second half, because yeah. I would back this team if they, you know, if we played San Diego and we'd had the ball or we'd had the wind behind us in the second half, mm-hmm. I think we win that game.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, you know, we probably would have gotten down quite a bit to begin the game, but this team has the tenacity to pull off a comeback. They have the skill and the talent to pull off a comeback if they've got the wind behind them and they're not trying to kick into the wind.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the wind also plays a factor into the lineout, the set piece, right? Like, we can't have those big, long, looping lineout throws. It's going to have to be a little more, I hate to say predictable, but first jumper, you know, second jumper, like, the throws have got to be on target because the wind's going to take it and go if it is going to be a little bit gusty. And 10 to 20 miles per hour isn't too bad, but if it does start to get gusty out there, then we need to adjust our tactics there. So you brought up Grady being out there. If you look at the projected starters here, AKP, I'm sure there's going to be changes, right? Obviously from the Anthem game. But talk us through a little bit what you may see. Will we see Vaca back in at hooker? You know, what other changes do you anticipate for Old Glory projected starters against RFC LA?
I would expect that it's probably, I mean, there are going to be a ton of changes from Anthem, but probably not that many changes from San Diego. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, I would expect to see the normal starting front row back in, Iscaro, Vaca, and Roland. I'd expect to see, you know, Ignacio Dotti and Rob Harley in it at the lock position. I expect to see Corey Daniel back on the back row. And I expect to see, we'll probably see Gross on the other flank, Bavaro in the back. We'll probably, I don't really know at scrum half at this point. They're all doing pretty well when they're on the field, so I don't really have a preference one way or the other for who they choose. I'll leave that one up to the coaches. I mean, Robertson going to play at fly half, obviously. I think you'll have Boney back at 12 and Willie T at 13. I think we'll probably see, you know, Axel Muller on one wing, obviously. It's an interesting choice who you put on the other wing. I think Tabulis did really well. We could see him on the wing. I wouldn't mind seeing Hoyland actually out on the wing and then putting Grady in the backfield, especially if it's going to be windy. That could be one of those game time decision things. I think if if he's not in the game, I think you got to put Mike Dubulis on the bench. He really showed a lot of fire, and you've got options who can play center, so don't really worry about that.
Yeah, probably not too dissimilar from the San Diego Legion lineup. And again, I think we should all be keeping our eye on the weather report and just to see if the wind is going to be a factor in this game or not. And knowing what Old Glory and the coaching staff knows about the venue, like, that's why you have home field advantage, so you know these wrinkles. You know, so wind at our back, second half, like, we should know this. All right, AKP.
I don't know if they get to choose which side of the field they play on first, but yeah, that should also be something they keep in mind.
All right, AKP, let's break it down. What's the game plan for RFCLA / give me the keys to victory here?
I think on defense, it's about, you know, just making the tackles and making them blink first. We've talked about how they've got some explosive playmakers, but they don't have necessarily a great way to create opportunities for themselves to score. And so just don't give them the opportunity to do much of anything. You know, play it safe. Just let them hammer away and let them make a mistake. And, you know, make them blink first, you know, make them make the mistake and don't make the mistake yourself. And I think that's really the key on defense. And then on attack, I think, you know, winning the kicking battle, maintaining possession, and just, you know, doing what they do, you know, get those lineouts. We've got an excellent maul, rely on the set piece to give us an edge. And, you know, if we can do anything to open up the wings and get players like Hoyland and Muller the ball, that will really make the difference, I think.
I think, I feel like repeat, points early, points often, take control of the game, check the weather report, make sure we know how that wind is going to go. But I do, I think the strength is in our forward pack. Let's let our boys take control there, be real dominant at the breakdown, pick and goes, soften them up, you know, and find gaps for our talented back three to get in there and dot down and get some points. The other thing too is defensively, again, we got to be on, if we commit a penalty, you know, any of those quick taps, you know, if Niles Saunders is there at the starting scrum half, he's going to want to try and do that. You know, Andrew Crow out in the wing, he's going to want to try and snipe a try intercept. So we just got to make sure we are aware of that. Again, this is a game I just feel like this is a game that Old Glory should be expected to win. Again, third in the Eastern Conference, contending, battling for playoff position within arm's reach of New England and NOLA. You can't have a team traveling across the country again come in and steal a win from you at home. That shouldn't be an option. You're at home. The expectation should be to win and make it a big, strong physical game. You know, and Old Glory DC, again, I think there's the option here for a bonus point win, and that should be the expectation here at home.
Yeah.
Four tries, bonus point win.
Absolutely.
Let's go. Let's get five table points, you know. Maybe the game's a little closer than we thought or we expect, but since we're talking about the score, AKP, I'll let you go first here. Give me your score prediction.
I'm going to say 24-20. And I think that's partly because, you know, we get four tries, but we only make two of the conversions because it's windy.
Yeah, I think we'll land four or five tries. The wind could be a factor. I think you're spot on. I have like a 26-20, somewhere in that range. I think they win by 5 or 6 points, in control of the match, and just grind out a victory and walk out of there with five table points ahead of a bye week and a little rest up for the fellas before we've got the number one team in MLR, Houston, coming into our house to play. So, AKP, minimum expectation, bonus point win for Old Glory DC, yay or nay?
I mean, I think that's the goal. I think there's less than that, I'd be a little disappointed, but if we only get three tries, but we managed to show a lot of good signs, show, you know, really returning to form on defense and really, you know, playing a patient game. And because you never know sometimes. Yeah, I really, really want that bonus point, though.
I agree. Yeah, and it's we Old Glory has shown that they can get it. Obviously, we saw that against New England, against tough opponents, and that was on the road. But at home, against a squad like RFC LA, I'm going to push for it. Minimum expectation. I want a bonus point win. I want 5 table points for Old Glory after this game against RFC LA. Okay? There we go. All right. AKP, let's move on. Let's take a look at the rest of week 6. So we're past Bi-Mageddon. Of course, week 5 had 4 teams on bye. We've got 2 Friday night games again, which I'm kind of excited about. I like those Friday night games, even though that second one is going to be kicking off a little late, 10:30 p.m., so I'll be staying up past my bedtime. But Friday night, Utah versus Anthem. That's in Utah. That's a 9 p.m. kickoff. Upset alert?
Maybe.
Ooh. Okay.
But I mean, Utah's had a little rough the last couple of weeks, but I think we've seen pretty conclusively that Anthem can only hang when they're facing a second string side. And Utah is going to really want to get right, and I don't think they're probably going to rest anyone or do it. Like, they just want to score a bunch of points, put on a show at home. So I expect this to be pretty clearly in favor of Utah.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Part of me wants to say, yeah, upset alert, because this is a chance for Anthem to do it. Utah, they need a bonus point win here. They're getting healthy again. You know, Mono's back, which is great. I think Utah should win this one big at home. I think it could be, you know, 20 points or more, because Utah needs to make up a little bit of ground and the point differential. So I'm going with Utah here as well by 20 or more. And then the next game, Friday night, 10:30 p.m. kickoff, Seattle Seahawks at home against Seattle Seahawks.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting, right? One half they play American football, the other half they take the pads off and play a real sport called rugby. That would be funny. Seattle Seahawks hosting the Dallas Jackals. I guess I'll ask you that question again, AKP. And is it fair to say upset alert here? Can Dallas, you know, they almost, that call at the end of the game, or the interpretation where Houston was able to, where there was the foul on the kicker, but they marked it where, because he started to chase at that point. He wasn't fouled on the kick. It was when he started to chase, and they awarded Houston the penalty, and they were able to get 3 points and win the game. Anyway, Dallas almost beat Houston. Can they go into Starfire Stadium and beat Seattle? Are you going to call the upset? Am I putting you on the spot?
I definitely think they can. Dallas is one of those teams. They have no trouble scoring points, and so I think they've always got a shot in every game. It's going to be interesting, though, to see how they do on a narrower field against Seattle. Seattle plays really well at home. And so I'm going to give the edge to Seattle. I'm, you know, 3 points or whatever, but I don't think it's a guarantee Seattle wins. I don't even know if they're particularly favored.
Yeah, this is, you know, Dallas can look at the blueprint of how to beat Seattle at home when Houston went up there a couple of weeks before and did it. That was a high-scoring, entertaining match. You know, maybe I'm just not, maybe I'm too cowardly here, and I'm going to stick with Seattle winning this one. But I caveat this by saying Dallas could. Yeah, sure, Dallas could do it. I like Von Isaacs a lot back there at fullback. He's a playmaker. You team him up with Richardson, Marcel Mueller, like guys that can score. Sam Gala, he can, when he runs with the ball, he's rampaging through some folks. So they've obviously got some pieces there, even though they have the injury to Geronimo Gomez-Vara. Ronan Foley is a quality player. Dallas has all the pieces to go up there and do it. I just don't know if I can pick them yet. AKP. So I think I got to give the edge to Seattle, but I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the sensible choice.
Yeah. If I was more of a man, I would just say Dallas for the win. But maybe I'll change. So check my email Friday morning when I officially when I go back and forth. All right, moving on. Saturday, 4 p.m. kickoff. NOLA Gold off their bye. They're hosting Chicago. Now, the Billy Meeks experiment at Fly Half now looks officially over, which I think is a good thing for Chicago. Carlisi came in at 10. They just looked so much better. Billy Meeks is a fantastic center. There's rumor that potentially Nate Osberger might be back, though Dominguez scored a try. Noah Brown, phenomenal MLR rookie in his first start, scored two tries. All of a sudden, I think Chicago's finally starting to get back to what people thought they were going to be, you know, an interesting team. AKP, what are your thoughts here? Upset alert again?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I don't even know how many of these count as upsets. It's one of those where...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think every team, you know, Miami's really proven they can hang as well, that really every team 1 through 11 has proven that they're capable of winning on their day. And I think, you know, Utah's in a rough patch right now, but other than that, I mean, I'd take almost anyone against anyone else. Maybe Houston's a little bit further ahead, but even then they weren't further ahead against Dallas. They barely scraped out a win against Dallas. So I think, you know, yeah, of course Chicago could beat NOLA. I think it's going to be interesting. NOLA has been on a bye. I feel like I don't really know where they're going to land quite yet. They started well, and it depends whether they can keep up that pace. So,
yeah, if you're a Chicago fan, you got to be a little wondering, what, scratching your head, like, what happened there? We were up 26-0, right, at one point, and we just let Seattle come back and win the game. And credit to Seattle for calmly just saying, okay, this game's not over. Let's get back to our game. Let's just keep, you know, chipping away at this lead. And it didn't ever seem like Seattle was ever panicked in that game, even when they were looking at such a big deficit. So certainly Chicago is going to have to tune things up in here a little bit. But this is another one where I don't know. I'm going to give the edge to NOLA. You know, again, NOLA obviously is far better than they were last year. Are they still a good team? I don't know. You know, they're at home. You're a team at home. You should be expected to win. You just came off of a bye. I'll give the edge to NOLA Gold because I do think, you know, that back line. Now they just picked up Nick Feeks. I don't know if they immediately throw him in the match day 23. He hasn't played in a hot minute. He's coming back to NOLA, but, you know, certainly had Fido out there on the wing, JP Duplessis, Jordan Jackson Hope. I mean, you name it. They've got some players out there. So I guess I'll give the edge to NOLA. But what if I'm looking at it right now, outside of, you know, all these games could be, you mentioned it, either, there's not one game on here besides maybe one more where I feel like we know who the winner's going to be. And maybe you disagree with me on this next one. So why don't we just jump to it?
Yeah, let's go to it.
All right, New England Free Jacks. I guess my pick officially is NOLA Gold. I'm going to pick NOLA Gold to win that one, but that could change by Friday morning. This next one, Saturday afternoon, New England Free Jacks off their bye. They're at home hosting the Miami Sharks. So this is the game, AKP, where I feel like maybe the public is going one way. Upset alert?
Yeah, and this one's closer to being actually considered an upset, but New England hasn't been great this year. I mean, they've been good, but they haven't been great. You know, you can think about last year when they, you know, they were sort of clearly ahead of the pack, and this year they're not. They're right in amongst everyone. They've sort of scraped out a couple of wins. They lost to us. So Miami has had a rougher time at the beginning of this season, but it seems like they're starting to sort of gel as a team and really cohere into something capable. But I would give the edge to New England. They're at home, and Miami has yet to prove that they can actually come away with a win in one of these games, but the possibility is there. I wouldn't be I wouldn't be calm and confident as a Free Jacks fan.
Yeah, I mean, so a couple of developments, right, for New England. John Poland officially out for the rest of the season, which is too bad. Quality player, and I'd have to look at his numbers and how long he's been in the U.S., but I kind of think he's getting close to being eligible to play for the men's Eagles maybe next year or two. I mean, he's only 27. So anyway, I like John Poland, quality player. Unfortunately, he's out for the season, although it sounds like New England's getting some reinforcements back. Mitch Jacobson, I think he is coming back to the squad. He was out on leave or down in New Zealand or whatever for a little bit, but it sounds like LaRue Milan may be back for New England this week. Whether or not they put him in the starting 15, I don't know. Maybe match day 23, but certainly explosive player. It sounds like he's ready to go after, you know, that injury in the Rugby World Cup. So they've got some reinforcements. I think it's Yacht Rock Night Day at New England. They do some funny fan festivals, which is kind of funny. But to your point, yeah, this is the first time Miami's going to go up and play at Veterans Memorial Stadium up there, you know, in a pretty partisan crowd that can get kind of loud. Be interesting to see how they respond to that. I think you give the edge to New England because they're at home. But hey, if Miami were to squeak one and win it, okay by me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, by me. So yeah, AKP, that is our look at week 6 for Major League Rugby again. Old Glory DC 2-2-1. Right there, solidly in third place in the Eastern Conference, within striking distance, obviously, of the top two spots, NOLA and New England. As you kind of look ahead to the middle part of the season here, 1-2-3, do you think in the Eastern Conference those squads are, you think any one club in the Eastern Conference is going to separate themselves from the pack?
I mean, it's possible. We have seen in prior seasons things start close and then someone figures it out, and a couple of other squads, you know, there's always some randomness around injuries and unavailabilities and stuff like that. So, and sometimes players get signed mid-season and stuff like that. So there's a chance that one of those squads separates themselves out, but I'd be surprised. So far, we haven't seen any separation between, you know, really. I mean, you can argue Houston has separated themselves from the pack a little bit, but beyond that, really, really, it's been so close this season. It's been a great season of MLR. I mean, this is vintage, a vintage year for MLR, I think. This is going to be one of those seasons where you go, you know, I want to go watch some old MLR games. This is the season to, going to be the season to come back to. I think it's, you know, it's hard to predict the future at the moment. I don't think you can say that any of these teams are going to separate themselves out. And if they do, it's because they got lucky.
Yeah, injuries will always be a factor in how things play out. That's why depth's so important. Your Old Glory DC, you should be gunning for one of the top two spots for the playoffs. Key to have that, you know, that home playoff match, you know, just from a revenue point of view for the club, but two, also just to be able to play in front of a home crowd. And, you know, we're starting to get to that critical stretch where, you know, results really do matter and table points and all that. And all of that comes into play. And Old Glory's in the mix, right? That's all we can ask for. And, you know, we've got some tough tests coming up here against some Western Conference opponents, whether it's on the road or at home. And certainly we'll be looking forward to when Jama comes back from his BS suspension. But, yeah, I'm excited for this. Knock on wood, AKP. I hope to be joining you on Saturday at the Maryland Soccerplex to watch Old Glory DC take on RFC LA. And if you're going to the game, look for AKP. He'll be out there barbecuing with his electric grill setup, which is wild to me. But
yeah, barbecuing with my parents this time.
That's right. That's right. Fantastic. Awesome. A lot to look forward to this weekend for week 6 of Major League Rugby. And of course, it kicks off with two games on Friday night. I'll be staying up to watch it. Shout out Fantasy Rucker Show, Rugby Morning, first, well, tied for first, point differential, whatever, but right there in the mix. Quick shout out there, AKP, who does all the background work for it. Thank you. For my co-host, Alistair Kirschpool, I am John Fitzpatrick. You are listening to the number one unofficial Old Glory DC fan podcast in the nation. We'll talk to you next week when we break down RFC LA.